Perspective is an important word. It's a very important concept. It involves how we see things. And sometimes things are not as they first appear. I suppose it would be handy to start off with a good working definition of the word that I'm claiming is so important. But actually, you have to dig down to about the third or fourth layer in the dictionary to find the definition of the term perspective that really applies to our discussion here tonight. The primary definition, and I think that's what you call that first definition that the dictionary offers, and usually they offer three or four different definitions. The primary definition of the word perspective actually has words in it that we'd need to look up in the dictionary in order to understand the definition of the word that we're looking up. And so I skipped over that one. In fact, I got down to about the third option in the dictionary's offerings for a definition, and I finally found something that makes sense with what we're talking about. Perspective is the capacity to view things in their true relations or in their relative importance. We say his perspective was all messed up. In other words, he's looking at something and not able to view the things that he's looking at as they truly are. And so he's got the wrong perspective. Now, it's important for us to understand that perspective is not an end in itself, but rather it is a means to an end. We might call perspective a tool. We could say that perspective is a tool that is to be used in the process of gaining proper understanding. That's what perspective is. Having the right perspective helps us to get the right understanding of something that we view or observe. It can be a very important tool. We should always remember that our perspective, which is how we see something, is often affected by several different things. Your perspective may be affected by your point of view or your attitude toward something. You may have a bad attitude toward someone and you look at them with a warped perspective. You see only the bad. You don't like this person, and so your perspective as you look at what they're doing or what they are is all messed up. Your perspective can be hindered or affected by your point of view or your attitude toward something or someone. Your perspective of something may be affected by the amount of information that you have about that thing or about that person or that occasion. We had a pretty in-depth discussion this morning in the Sunday school class here in the auditorium about the importance of making sure we have all of the facts before we pass judgment or before we start trying to second guess something that someone has done or decided to do. It's very important to get as much information as you can about any given thing in order to have a complete understanding of it. Perspective certainly may be affected by the carefulness with which we look at a situation or a thing or a person. In other words, just a quick glance doesn't usually give you a good view. Slow down. take a second look. We talked about this a good bit this morning in class as well. It's important to see everything about something and not make a quick judgment based on just a quick glance. And so our perspective as we look at something can certainly be helped by taking a more careful view. Most things deserve more than just a quick glance. And at the risk of sounding repetitious, it's always good to remember that things aren't always as they first appear to be. Now, we could illustrate that point with any number of very effective things that are called optical illusions. For example, here's one. Now, as you look at that, it may very well be that it appears that the screen is moving a little bit. Okay, maybe not, but to some people it does. I assure you, the screen isn't moving. There's nothing that's moving in that picture at all. It just appears to be moving. And if you see it and observe that illusion that the picture is moving a little bit, it's all in your head. And I really don't know what to tell you to do about that. Here's one of my favorites. What do you see in that picture? Well, maybe if we made it bigger, you could see something different. Lady had me build a frame for this particular print. I'd never seen it before until she got the frame home that I'd built for her, and she put the print in it, and she sent me a picture of it. She said, "What do you see, a lion or nine zebras?" And so I had to do a little investigation into this thing. That's an interesting illustration. It's important to take more than just a quick glance in order to see what's really there in that picture. How about this one? Well, obviously, that's just a plain old set of shelves. Well, not really. In fact, I dare say that not even Doug Johnson could build a set of shelves just like that. Because it's not really what it looks like it is. If you look at the right-hand side of it and then look at the left-hand side, you see something just really doesn't work. Sometimes the quality of our lives and our service to God may be hindered by the limitations of our perspective. It has often been said that a little bit of knowledge can be a very dangerous thing. Most often, it's not the ignorance, but the illusion of knowledge that keeps us from learning a new truth. In other words, by assuming that we already know everything we need to know, we cut ourselves off from valuable discovery. Our lesson text for tonight is Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2. The wise man says there, "A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind." Now, that's plain enough. You really don't even have to go to a more modern translation to hear how they render it in order to understand. A foolish man isn't interested in what he can learn. He's only interested in telling you what he thinks. Does that describe us? Especially in things relating to God and our service to Him, we need to make a more concerted effort to gain a greater knowledge and thus have a better view. So let's take a quick look at a handful of things about which I want to suggest we often need a higher and broader perspective so that we can see more of the total truth in these situations. You'll understand more of what I'm talking about as we get into this list. Number one, we don't always have the very best of perspectives in matters that have to do with our own selves. A lot of people have dangerous blind spots when it comes to being able to see weaknesses in their own character. Do you have any blind spots? I suppose, if the truth were known, a far greater number of us would have to admit to having some blind spots. You know, it's not unusual for parents to have difficulty in seeing how their children are sometimes in certain situations. It's not unusual at all for us to have a dear friend that we care a great deal about and then seemingly are blind to perhaps some particular thing about that person that other people find to be very disagreeable. But it's really bad when we refuse to see the truth about ourselves. And in that case, we need a better perspective. Some uninspired writer has very correctly observed, and I quote, "Far more crucial than what we know or do not know is what we do not want to know." Now think about that. That's really true. To most people, there are some things that they want to take the... Don't tell me, I don't want to know. But what about yourself? Is there anything about yourself that you'd really just rather not think about? I'm not talking about bad manners. I'm not talking about personal hygiene practices. I'm talking more about spiritual things. Is there an aspect to your own life that you just really prefer not to think about? Turn a blind eye, so to speak. When a decision about godly conduct needs to be made, our own frame of reference is not complete enough to be trustworthy. Did you understand that? When it comes to a decision about godly conduct, our own frame of reference is not complete enough to be entirely trustworthy. What do you mean by that? Well, listen to how God said it in Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Actually, Jeremiah is speaking to God, and he says, "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his own steps." Or the wise man tells us in Proverbs 3, beginning at verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." It's always a step in the right direction when we try to see ourselves as others see us. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it takes quite a bit of effort and self-discipline to look at ourselves from the perspective of those who see us. In Proverbs 12, verse 15, the wise man said, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but wise is the man who listens to counsel." The very best perspective, obviously, is to try to see ourselves as God sees us. That's the short route to the best corrective measures. To see ourselves as God sees us. Let's look at another one. When contemplating the matter of hearsay, our perspective is rarely broad enough. Hearsay, everybody knows what hearsay is. Did you hear? Did you hear about so-and-so? Do you know what he said about her? Those kind of things. Reports that we hear concerning other people rarely contain more than just a part of the actual story. Sometimes the report is just simply untrue. Or sometimes the report implies something that is untrue. More often, however, the report leaves out crucial information and thereby creates false impressions. That's hearsay. It's not right to consider only a part of the story regarding the conduct of other people. In fact, that's always been a principle with which God has given us the responsibility of using. All the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, here's a part of the law that God gave to his people. A single witness shall not rise up against a man on account of any iniquity or any sin which he has committed. On the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. That goes back a long way, doesn't it? And when we read the New Testament, in Matthew 18, for example, when Jesus is telling us how to settle differences among ourselves, he emphasizes the need to establish everything correctly with witnesses. As we discussed this morning, where Paul told Titus concerning the contentious man, how to deal with him, he was careful to say, after the second or third warning. You see, the matter of getting all of the information, going through the proper procedure, is very important. Verification is essential in conduct, in word, and especially in doctrine. Number three, the right perspective about controversy is very important. The right perspective about controversy. When viewpoints conflict, do we really try to see and learn from that other person's perspective? When we don't agree, when they hold a position that I don't share, do I ever take the time to try to understand better what they believe and why they believe it and give it a fair consideration? The other person may have been able to see something helpful that we haven't seen thus far. Jumping to conclusions, assuming that we already know what that person knows, these are characteristics of a foolish man, not a wise man. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is a folly and shame to him." None is so great that he does not need to listen. No person is so secure in his position that he should close his mind to the possibility that he could be wrong. Obviously, God's word holds the solution to those kind of things. Controversy needs to be settled with God's word in hand. If it is a matter of opinion, opinions must be respected. But if it is a matter of doctrine, God will provide the final say. need to broaden our perspective when it comes to other people. With most people that we know, with few exceptions, we know them really only in a relatively narrow slice of their lives. With many of the people that we know, we never see them except in one place or in one role, maybe only at work or at school. Or maybe we only see them in the church, at worship assemblies. One of the reasons that husbands and wives know one another so well is that they interact with one another in such a wide range of activities and situations. And it probably should be very true that none of us knows anybody else as well as we know our spouse. Because honestly, we just haven't seen enough of those people. And we can make disastrous mistakes in dealing with others if we assume that our knowledge of them is more complete than it really is. First impressions are notoriously unreliable. The best way to broaden our perspective as we look at others is to try to figure out a way to walk in their shoes. We should always try to look at our fellow human beings through the eyes of the advocate rather than the eyes of the accuser. How we get along with one another has an effect on how we trust one another. And often the depth of our love for one another depends, whether we like it or not, on a greater knowledge. Number five, and we'll be through. We need a comfortably broad perspective when it comes to dealing with the matter of anxieties. With most personal problems, the facts of the problem itself rarely constitute the whole story. Focusing on the problem alone is no more than anybody in the world can do. You understand what I'm trying to say? When the problem at hand, whatever the problem may be, whether it's a financial problem, whether it's a marriage problem, whether it's a personal problem, a physical problem, if all we see is the problem itself, we're not seeing anything that the world can't see. Rather, if we look at that problem from the standpoint of the help that is available from God and the encouragement that is available from brothers and sisters in Christ, we have come far. Much farther than anyone in the world toward figuring out a resolution or at least the best way to deal with that problem. Help that is available from God is priceless. Many times we need to look more carefully at the insignificance of the problem against the backdrop of eternity. Not to be calloused nor unfeeling. But sometimes the best way to deal with a problem, particularly a physical problem, is to focus on the fact that when I get to heaven, there won't be any things like this to deal with. In 2 Kings chapter 6, the Bible tells us about a situation when the king of Aramea had decided that he had to put an end to old Elisha because Elisha just knew too much of his business. He thought it was the king of Israel that had bugged his palace, but his His aides told him, "Oh, king, it's not the king over there. It's that prophet. It's Elisha. He knows the words that are spoken in your bedchamber." So the king of the Syrians decided that he needed to find Elisha, and he sent his army to where Elisha was, and they surrounded the city, intending to capture Elisha and do away with him. We take up reading in verse 15 of 2 Kings chapter 6. "Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was encircling the city. The servant said to him," speaking to Elisha, "Alas, O master, what shall we do?" And so Elisha answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, God is not going to send you a chariot full of relief or an army of horsemen or weapons of fire, literally. He'll do far more than that. He's promised to be with us every step of the way and to help us in ways that we'd never dream he was able to do. Providing all things that work together for our ultimate spiritual good, if we will but trust him. Work hard, pray, and trust him. We need a broader perspective when we're dealing with anxieties and problems. With respect to our worries and troubles, we should allow ourselves to feel grief and pain. No one denies that. But having done that, we should also train ourselves to move to higher ground from whence we can see more of what God sees about that particular situation. Isn't it amazing how God's Word furnishes us with what we need for every conceivable situation if we're trying to serve Him and follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you walking in the steps of Jesus? You can't do that until you've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, become one of His children. Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him as Lord and Master, to be buried with Him in baptism, and have your sins washed away. If you've done that but have not been faithful in your service to God, why not come back and be restored? If you need to respond to the Master's invitation in any way, we invite you to come forward as we stand together and sing.